One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I love in this section when he's reading it, I can double your brain power, and Lenny goes, well, double nothing is still nothing.
You know why I love that? Because that's the line I used last week on Mike.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So when I heard that, I was like, that's cool. I might actually write a note. I'll get my clip of saying it, and then I'll get Lenny's clip of saying it.
Doubles your intelligence within minutes, makes passing exams easy. Hey, just what I need. You read, I'll handle the crystal.
Well, double nothing, still nothing, you know.
Very funny.
I thought you were going to say you'd suck.
he'd probably still be in the same spot, even though he's working with two people.
That's right. It's true. Two times zero.
Yes, exactly. Still zero.
Very funny.
There's a rat called Rattus. He's the leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough. Darren, he's a dopey dog. Lix, he's a mother that mixed up bunny.
Feral.
That's the ferals for ya.
Ferals.
Don't mess with the ferals. The ferals. They're gonna get you, that's the ferals.
Hello and welcome to the Ferals Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by...
Swinny?
Yeah, Mike Tyson. I'm going to eat your ear. Nom, 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 nom.
Was that better?
Okay. That is like better the than worst Steve? Impression. That is.
I don't know what he sounds like. I don't
impression.
Know what Mike Tyson sounds like. I don't watch rugby or... I don't know. Is he a sprinter? What is he? Well, what is it? What does the guy do? Is he a painter? Is he a writer?
Mate, no. Mate, if there was like a worst impression website, I would submit that to the worst impression ever of Mike Tyson.
Okay, you do a better Mike Tyson impression. You do a better Mike Tyson impression.
I'll try to do it. Okay, that was pretty bad as well.
See, I have...
Moving on.
I have the tact that when I know I can't do an impression, I don't attempt to do it.
No, but all you have to say is, I'm Mike Tyson.
That's better.
Come
that's
on.
Better.
Yeah, there you go. That's a decent one. Everyone can do a decent Mike Tyson. You don't even know what he sounds like, obviously.
I'm Mike Tyson. I'm going to eat your ear. Nom, nom, nom.
It sounds more like Michael Jackson. And he's not going to eat ears. He's going to eat some other stuff if he could.
It sounds like Michael Tyson.
I was talking about... No, I shouldn't say it.
Okay, so getting back to the episode.
Penises.
This is episode 11, Exam Fever. If you'd like to hit us up on social media, tweet to us at Ferals Podcast, like us at facebook.com Ferals Podcast, and visit our website on feralspodcast.com. So this episode opens with the Ferals, they're playing a game, and at this stage, their shed caves in.
Wait.
Sort of like running in a different stream, we've got Joe trying to get into uni.
It's important to say, not just some game, it's important
yeah,
to the
exactly.
episode. That it's Trivial Pursuit.
It's what?
Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Game
I didn't
of
notice
games.
That.
Yeah.
It's
I love
it's
that
important
game.
Because this episode, as we get into, is all about intelligence. So, yes.
Yes.
You know, that's quite funny because I didn't pick up on that.
Huh.
I still watched the entire episode, but I didn't pick up on that.
They and they don't trivial have pursuit. Any Trivial Pursuit back in Gypsy Eastern Europe.
I've never actually played Trivial Pursuit.
Oh.
So, I don't know. It's not.
I have, and I've
I'm
always
not sure
lost.
If we even have it. And we've got Cluedo.
No, we have Trivial Pursuit in Australia. Damn right we do. We even have the Australian version of it.
I actually own it.
Oh, whether
no,
you
I'm,
own
I was
it
wondering
not.
If I own it.
I assume because you haven't played it, you probably do not own it. unless you hoard board games and never play them, which is possible.
Well, I actually do have Cluedo. I've never played it, so...
Huh.
Which, by the way, for any American listeners, that is the game known as Clue.
Oh.
It's not called Cluedo in America.
Why would they change the name in Australia? That's a great name,
though. Cluedo's a great
Cluedo's
name.
Cluedo's a cool name, yeah. Why call it Clue?
Anyway, so this is a tangents. Similar situation of Hungry Jack's, how in America, Burger King is Burger King. In Australia, this somewhat equivalent is called Hungry Jack's.
Well, it is the cook. It's actually owned by Burger King.
No, it's not. No,
it
it's
is.
Not.
It is.
No,
it's not. It's owned by the parent company.
It's not. It's a competing
Burger
brand,
King.
Man.
Huh?
It's not. It's not.
Yeah, it is.
Uh-oh.
It's not.
Oh,
down.
My God. Yeah, it is. Hang on.
Fight,
where's Wikipedia?
Fight.
Oh, I can't move.
It's like Target. You know Target?
Yeah.
Target in America is not the same company as Target in Australia.
But is it? Are the rights owned by the same people?
No. It's because the logo and the name wasn't registered in Australia, so they just stole it.
Huh.
So, I think it's Woolworths or Coles. I can't remember which conglomerate owns it and runs it.
Well, look, I'm going to look this up. And even though all
in
of this
side
is going to get cut
while
out.
Swinney and I go... no, it's
I'm
not.
Going
it's
to look it there. Up. And I'm pretty sure there is definitely a relation between Hungry Jack's and Burger King. In
okay.
fact,
well, that
in
would
fact,
keep you busy
remember,
for a while.
I remember all the Hungry Jack's used to be Burger King's. Not all of them, but
no,
a whole
they,
bunch
no,
of them.
They didn't.
And then they got rebranded to Hungry Jack's.
I like Monkey Boy there.
Yeah,
that'll
the
keep
one next
busy.
To my house. That used to be Burger King.
yeah.
That's Hungry Jack's.
I was shutting him up for a while. Mate, that were competing franchises.
All right. So how come the Burger King next to my house became a Hungry Jack's? Answer me that,
well,
Monkey
maybe
Boy.
They bought it out.
Maybe they
That's
did.
What happens.
Maybe they didn't.
Businesses
I don't know, but I'm going to find out.
okay,
and then
good.
We'll see.
So going back to the episode... there's an early Bart Simpson reference, which I really liked. Because, you know, this is not a show in Australia that was aired. So, the Simpsons weren't aired on the same channel as what the Ferrells were aired on. And usually, they don't even ever refer to anything that's commercial on the ABC, right? So, I did like the Simpsons reference. This is especially when the Simpsons was really good.
Except Cheers. They referenced Cheers.
When did they reference Cheers? That was ages ago, right?
Yeah, it was like maybe 5 episodes ago. I remember it, though.
I don't remember
the way they referenced it.
No, they did. They definitely referenced it. I mean, they referenced everything. Okay. They referenced Rambo. They referenced Mary Poppins.
Yeah, but it's not like an active show. The Simpsons were active. It was like season 6 when this was coming out.
And there is
anyway.
Something happening later in this episode, which we'll get to, which I think the Simpsons kind of in a way referenced this, that I thought was pretty cool.
Okay. We'll definitely have to talk about that, because I do not at all know what you're talking about.
I imagine it was reference by coincidence only.
yeah, I'm sure. Okay.
So by the way, sorry, just to interject very quickly. Hungry Jack's Pty Ltd. is the exclusive Australian master food franchise of Burger King Corporation. Ha.
Talking in corporate speak, we'll have to take this offline.
He's going to school you,
okay,
me.
Whatever. I know I'm right.
okay. So, the key part of this whole scene when the shed, at least the wall of the shed collapsed, was that we saw a really crudely drawn, but funny, version of what I thought were termites. Now, I must admit, I actually don't know what the difference between termites and what we find out them to be, white ants. I don't know. Is there a difference between those two
colloquial?
Things?
Isn't it the same thing? Isn't that just a colloquial way of saying termites? Pretty sure it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't check
I don't
it.
Want
but
to look.
I thought it would be.
you
different.
Sound
you,
so.
You're checking everything.
Of that, Mihai.
I didn't check. I don't check a lot of stuff. I just thought that's what it was.
Well, I know that. Okay, getting back to it. And then the other sort of plot... Well, there's three plots in this episode, actually. It's quite a busy episode. So we also have Joe, who announces that he's going... He actually pretty much announced he's going to uni, didn't he? And then we find out he's actually trying to do the entrance exam to go to uni.
No, he goes, I got in.
Although yeah, that's what he said.
What?
I got in.
He didn't quite get
I got in. Yeah. I got in, and then Robbie starts laughing. I like that. That was pretty funny. And then the other plot that gets set up quite early is that Lenny wants to dance. Which
yes.
The first scene of this was hilarious. Like, I just love the fact that he's watching. It looked like MC Hammer. to me.
I think this episode, it'll quickly become clear, is I think this is Lenny's episode, although Darren's obviously got a very big subplot in it. Or plot, I should say.
That's true, actually. Mm. Yeah, like, I've even forgot about that, isn't it? Like, there's at least four plots in this episode.
Yeah, there's the termites. The plot
with Darren comes
there's
up
Darren,
later.
There's Darren, there's Lenny. There's kind of, well, there is Joe.
Well, there's Joe. That's definitely
that's
a plot.
That's definitely four, yeah.
So there's four, like, key plot lines in this episode.
Mm. Oh, this was packed.
That's kind of crazy.
It's crazy.
It is very packed.
Chocolate
so, like, you know, we'll probably end up having to actually almost go scene by scene, unfortunately, just because you can't piece it together because so many things cross over. One of the early things that I laughed at was when the ferals were trying to, you know, chat to Joe about, and he's, like, trying to go to uni and, like, starting to study for it. And the way he says scram to them, do you remember that really early in the episode?
Yes.
When I think it was Radis and Moddy.
No, I don't remember him saying scram, but I remember that they pop up like on his balcony on like the I guess the fence.
Yeah.
And then he walks away and then they pop up on the other side, and it's such a like stereotypical slapstick thing, but it worked so well.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was the scene where he just like out of like, he's like, I'm trying to study for uni, so scram! And I was just like, whoa, this is, like, insane. Joe's character changes from episode to episode the most out of any other character. There's, like, there's a little bit of consistency, but, you know, of him being a bit of a douche, obsessed about money, but his, like, violence towards them totally changes. Like, sometimes he's chummy, sometimes he's, like, very violent. I guess he's just a temperamental figure.
He must be bipolar, Joe. He's very, very,
it's possible.
Layered character.
So this leads into, you know, because it's establishing the plot that, you know, he's wanting to go to uni, that the feral shed is caved in, that Lenny wants to dance, and then we see where
Lenny wants to dance.
That's what I described it at the start.
He wants to become cool, I think.
Hip.
Yeah, and that's what we
like,
learn,
you know,
that
it's
he's
cool putting your.
Well, we learn that he wants to go to a dance, to a party. So that's why he was wanting to dance. But I don't believe that was explained early in the episode, that he was going to a party and that's why he wants to learn how to dance.
No.
Maybe I missed that.
No, Robbie said it's the end of term dance.
Yes.
Okay. I got it totally wrong. I must have missed that line.
Yeah, because she goes,
okay,
why aren't
so that's the other plot line.
I remember that part specifically because I used to have arguments with my ex about being dressed and wearing the wrong thing. And then would argue back and forth, and I'm like, this is what I want to wear. Stop telling me what to wear. And then eventually it's like, fine, all right, I'll wear whatever you want. It's like, no, I don't want to go anymore. Sorry, it just brings back memories.
I thought all your exes couldn't speak English.
The human ones.
I was going to say, at least my exes are human, John.
But I already got in before you.
Damn it.
Anyway. We see Lenny, Darren, and Joe, they're all together, and also, like, Lenny randomly wants to, like, learn hypnotism, which is strange.
There were a few, it's strange, but within the context of this, there's a few transitions where I'm like, huh? It's just weird, like, they just introduce things
Monkey
randomly
boy,
into the episode.
I think you're losing your touch. It wasn't randomly, because Lenny, when he introduces it, he explains... Oh, and it could turn somebody who's
because it could be hip.
Yeah,
but there is a connection like that, but him having
that's fair enough, but the setup, it wasn't random. He pretty much says, oh, somebody who's a dork could be hip. So, and then Joe.
I agree with that, but he had a hypnotism kit, though. He didn't just, you know, grab some stuff to try hypnotism. He actually had a kit. And now, if you have a kit... And the way that the structure of the episode was, this is all in a couple of days. There's no way that he went out and bought a hypnotism kit.
Oh, I think that's
feasible.
You'd have
to, like... Oh, okay.
He didn't look like he bought it for Joe. He looked like he just had it and Joe happened to walk past.
He didn't buy it for Joe. He bought it for himself.
He didn't buy it for Joe.
He
bought it for himself.
Ah, it was that's for himself.
Why.
Of course.
Yeah.
But of course.
Okay. What a joke. As bad as I think I've missed a few things in this episode, I think you're way off the mark here, Mike. Anyway, so, of course, Lenny is, you know, using the hypnotism kit. By the way, Joe is actually the one swinging the little ball, you know, like the classic trope where you've got the swinging object and you've got to focus your eyes on it while the hypnotizer, that's not the right word, hypnotist, is, you know, saying the instructions. Surely the person who's getting hypnotized isn't the one who's meant to be swinging the ball. I've never seen that. Am I mistaken here?
I don't know. I mean, well, I don't know what the physical requirements are for hypnotism, but I think generally that's not the case. You're correct.
In my extensive years of experience in hypnotism, I have absolutely no idea.
Worked that wonders for you, though.
It has. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, my... Anyway, move on.
Yeah. So, of course, and I don't know, like, it was super obvious, right, that this was going to happen. Joe doesn't get hypnotized, but Darren is watching, and he conks out straight away, and he gets hypnotized, and Lenny's instructions when, you know, the person who's meant to be hypnotized was that they were going to go from being, you know, stupid to being really smart because Joe wants to pass his uni entrance exam. Whereas Darren is the one who actually hears this instruction. Now, Darren wakes up and he's a genius, which, like, is very funny. Like, there's, like, it's a awesome. Lot of lines in this episode
that
brilliant. I kind of was, like, trying to write down and I didn't follow it properly. I'm like, what's he writing? Something, something, acquiesce, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, this is getting crazy.
I love in this section when Joe's saying, okay, oh, this can... he's reading it, oh, it can double your brain power. And Lenny goes, well, double nothing is still nothing.
You know why I love that? Because that's the line I used last week on Mike.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So when I heard that, I was like, that's cool. I might actually write a note. I'll get my clip of saying it and then I'll get Lenny's clip of saying it.
Double and nothing. The quote you were looking for was moving to a less aqueous elevation. Aqueous.
Yeah,
aqueous.
That's right. I started saying that, and I started writing it down. I'm like, oh.
Hey, so, by the way, sorry, just to interject quickly. You know, I was telling you Simpsons references.
Oh, this is the first time you've done that. Go on.
Bit. This is the bit. I know. I'll try not to do it again in this episode.
You're now interrupting your own train of thought.
May I just interrupt myself for a second? So the Simpsons. You guys remember that Simpsons episode when Homer Simpson goes to the hospital and turns out he's got a crayon up his brain from when he was like 5 or 6 or something. I think you
mentioned this in a previous podcast, yeah, yes.
It was a different context. But anyway, that's the part where he takes it out and he becomes smart. You guys remember that episode? However, that was in season 12, I think. Which again was like in the late 2000s or something.
Six years after this.
Yeah, about that after this. So...
Mm.
Not saying anyone copied anyone else, but...
It was very similar. Although it is a common storyline that a lot of shows tend to do where somebody becomes what they're not and it turns out to be negative for them. For instance, Aladdin becoming Prince Ali and suddenly Apu and the magic carpet are left out on, you know, he becomes, I guess, I'm going to say, you know, he falls in love with riches and suddenly he forgets his friends. And that's pretty much what this storyline was following.
I agree.
It's pretty much a lot of reptilian conspiracy to stop people from becoming smart. That's what it is. Thermite, man. Thermite.
I don't even know what you're talking about now. I agree that there are a lot of TV shows that use this... you know, guys to, you know, have a character that transforms rapidly. But I think it's even the subset where something happens, like a one-off event where they get transformed.
Like Armageddon?
You know, like what?
Armageddon?
What do you mean Armageddon?
Like, you know, giant comet thing blowing up the earth. One-off event.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm talking about like the movie Big.
I gotta stop doing these drives.
You know the movie Big where where it's like something happens and then they're totally different. You know, I think there's one thing where they're sort of, you know, placed in a situation, like they're mistaken for someone, but when their actual personality completely changes or one of their attributes change, it's definitely a common thing in shows. Like I feel like they've already used this in this show. I'm sure they have if I think about it.
Even the upcoming Gem and the Holograms movie has the whole character finds success and they turn into a worse person because of it. And I believe that may even be the storyline of Mariah Carey's Glitter movie.
Don't ask me how I know that.
I have not seen that movie.
It's Blade Runner.
You're watching it for the plot.
There's Pulp Fiction, there's 2001, and there's that Mariah Carey movie. Top 10 films of all time.
I'm probably not going to go into specific of each one of these, but we see a lot of scenes with the Ferrells trying to either repair the shed or, you know, it's raining, and their outfits each time are awesome. Like, the costume designers in this episode were absolutely spot on, like top notch. It was really funny. Like, they'd have little hard hats, or they'd have, like, rubber duckies, or...
But they were made out of, like...
know, swimming rings and stuff.
Weren't some of the hard hats made out of pots and pans and stuff? In one of the scenes?
Yeah, some of them. Really I think one of them... Like, I think Radis had the actual proper hard hat, whereas Moddy had just, like, a pot on her head.
It must have been so cool working on the show, I reckon. Creating all the puppets and all the costumes and sets and stuff.
I just think the hardest thing would be trying to... make sure it appeals to kids. Because I feel like a lot of the storylines that they have in the show, they really kind of don't appeal to kids that well. I'm not surprised it only went for 2 seasons, to be honest. Because if you look at something like The Muppets, it's like they know how to appeal to kids very effectively and still sort of be funny to adults.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kids find jokes about economics terminology funny.
Exactly. So, I mean, with the Lenny dancing bits, there's really nothing to say, right? Like, I've written a few notes, but it's just, I don't know, it's a very 90s thing. Like, people who were born past 1995 just don't get it.
He was going nuts, and I reckon he had some moves, actually.
He did. He wasn't bad. The only thing is, I think the reason why he failed overall is if you carefully watch the clip that he's watching... The guy dancing in the clip has his cap facing forwards, but Lenny puts his backwards. That's the critical, crucial mistake.
it changes his...
That's the critical, crucial mistake.
Yes.
It changes his center of balance. That's right.
It does.
Exactly.
And therefore, he fails.
Get a full swing.
Also, he's not black, but minor detail.
Hey, Vanilla Ice had the moves, man. Come on.
Black music. Rap music.
Yeah, rap music. Yeah, it's because he wasn't rap.
That's right.
So we see Joe studying again. I love how they set this up. I have to say, the people who worked on the sort of set design in this episode were awesome. So we have like Joe, and he's got the books stacked up super high. And you can hear him talk about the bull market is when the market's high and the bear market is when... And then he's struggling, when it's a bear. And then he reads the answer and he says, market flat.
that was awesome.
But when I heard that, I'm like, that's not the right answer. That is actually incorrect.
Oh, you know.
The bear market is not when it's flat. It's when it's falling. Specifically, it has to only be when
it's
falling.
Listen here, nerd. This isn't a nerd podcast for nerd economics.
We're trying to pick up on these things. Nerd economics. But it's weird, though. Like, how would they get that wrong? Like, I don't know. That's just... I thought that was a weird thing. It was strange. What chance does Joe have if he's reading textbooks and it's wrong?
I don't know. He's set up to fail, clearly.
Yeah, obviously.
Exactly.
I mean, he could end up having a really awesome career in the music industry, maybe, as a successful artist, just putting it out there.
He could...
wink.
He could get a couple of jobs at some major Australian banks and financial providers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. So, at this point, you know, the shed is still wrecked. One wall's fallen in, and Darren is now, as the Ferrells have discovered, is super smart.
As I said, so Radis, Darren turns into Wikipedia.
Pretty much, yeah. He knows everything about anything. Pretty much.
Yeah, where they can ask him questions. Do you remember the questions? Like, what is the scientific name of a cat? Okay, Swinney, what's the answer? What's the scientific name of a cat?
I have no idea.
You used to work in a pet shop.
I didn't study. How about you? I didn't study veterinary
pet scientician of something.
Well, you just watched the episode.
I don't remember that question.
I don't remember either. I remember
feline
the question.
Domesticus.
I remember the feline domesticus part, but I forgot the domesticus part.
Is that actually the proper name, though?
Probably not. No, but it does actually sound familiar. When you said it, I was like, oh, okay.
Domesticus doesn't sound right.
No, domesticus, maybe. I don't know. Domesticated, domesticus. A lot of the English words do come from Latin. No, but I remember looking up the termite because he gives the name for termites, and that is actually the correct name, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just checked it. It's incorrect.
Oh, okay.
It says Felis catus. Although there's another thing that says Felis domesticus.
Oh, there we go.
No, there's another thing that says Felis domesticus.
So maybe it is Felis domesticus. So domesticus is a word.
It must be clarifying when it's domesticated cat. So that makes sense.
Well, yeah, that does make sense. Yeah,
if domesticus is actually a word in Latin, which it sounds like it is, but I don't know. And feline is obviously cat.
We're not going that far. You're jumping to conclusions here.
That makes sense. And if it isn't, it should totally be. Well, I'm saying cat, feline.
If a word is in Latin, but that's still not answering the question. You're just... Anyway.
Anyway, that's what it should be. The Ferrell's got it right.
I think it's right. I mean, I just said that their definition of the bear market is incorrect, so I don't know why we're trusting it so much. But anyway. So, Radis hatches a plan to have Darren help Joe do the uni entrance exam in exchange for Joe fixing the shed. So that's the sort of, you know, that starts to be some of the crossover in this episode, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Thank God, because otherwise we'd be here all night.
I know. It's a struggle, this one. And then we see Mixie and Moddy drying off at Lenny's place because it was raining and the shed's missing a wall, so they're like... They're in these funny, like, towels. This episode, they have so many, like, set changes and outfit changes. It's crazy.
A lot of props.
And this is also... Yeah. And this is where we had Lenny talking about needing to look and be hip. Which... Okay, I'm going to ask you, Swinny. Did we use the word hip in the mid-90s?
Yeah.
No.
Zero chance.
We used to wear our baseball caps backwards. We used to say hip. We used to have like chains around our necks and shit. Velcro shoes. Come on. Yeah, you guys don't remember any of that? That's right, because it never happened.
But we had like Chicago Bulls and Hornets baseball caps and the pants.
Yep. Yeah.
The button pants
on them.
Well, hang on. This is funny because
button pants came later. Button pants came later. Pants.
We joke about the rest of the stuff.
No, but they came later. They came later. That was like 2000, I think.
Mm. Was it? Yeah.
Do you reckon those button pants will come back?
2000. It was late 90s.
I reckon button pants will come back. I reckon they were practical. Pretty cool.
I hope they come back. They were pretty cool. Yeah.
You know what the problem with button pants?
They were actually practical, though.
They were practical because it had really good ventilation as a kid.
Yeah, but they were too cold. I found.
Well, you don't have to wear them in winter.
Didn't you have the button pants that had two stripes on the side?
They weren't button pants, but yes, they had two stripes, and it actually said Adidas on them. And I'm starting to think, after about 20 years, they were probably fake.
They were not Adidas. That's what everyone said.
It wrote Adidas on it, therefore they were Adidas.
Adidas had three stripes, button pants.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mike
only had two, but it still said Adidas. So after
Mike
20 years,
wore counterfeit.
I suspect there are
Adidas button pants, and everyone pointed it out. And he kept on saying, "No, look at the logo.
Can
it says Adidas."
Please
on
also reiterate the fact that Mike was very, very poor, and he did not give a shit what clothes he got as long as he had something to wear.
That's true.
Mike used to sleep on the floor.
That's true.
During those days, so any pants poor with Mike. Two or three stripes, they were still good by him.
And now he's grown up to randomly interrupt in podcasts.
Exactly. How awesome is that? Remember,
and
kids.
And Monkey Boy's so poor because he's right now because he can't afford medicine. So he's coughing so much.
I know. Sorry.
Even though he works for a big bank.
I don't believe in medicine. And this is another. This is
one of your
completely off
theories.
Wait.
Causes
this
autism
ties
or
into
some shit.
This ties into my note, actually.
Okay, go on.
So you don't believe in... you'd rather not believe in antibiotics, is that correct?
No. I believe antibiotics maybe... They'd be up there as, like, top three in discoveries in medicine, and we totally abuse it. We use it all the time for things that's not even meant to be used for.
Okay, yes. I'm glad you clarified that, but what that links to me is that in this scene, in the Ferals, they say that that's not hip to Lenny wearing the yellow pants, is that they need to look like Tom Cruise. Now,
who do we know
that resembles Tom Cruise?
Like? Is it Helicopter?
Monkey Boy!
Oh, yes, and of course.
What is Tom Cruise? Tom Cruise is a Scientologist. And if I'm correct, Scientologists don't believe in antibiotics.
Oh, man, you should have had this in one of those games.
Psychiatry.
Or am I confused? No, confusing that? I know they don't believe in antidepressants, but I thought they didn't believe in
antibiotics. They don't believe in psychology and psychiatry.
just got sued.
Yeah.
Okay,
they believe in medicine, though.
It must be Jehovah's Witnesses that don't believe in antibiotics.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, just a quick story on the Tom Cruise thing. So, like, the context is I am not a good-looking guy.
Well,
it is amusing. It is amusing that people say this very rarely. And
as,
I must say,
as someone who's made out with you,
not for a long time. Not for a long time anyone has said this. But my favorite story about this is that my sister heard this. That, you know, people were saying, hey, he looks like Tom Cruise. Ooh. And she was just like, you're talking utter crap, right? And we're at a pub one day, just having a few beers, me and my sister. And this random person came up to me and said, man, you look like Tom Cruise. And the look on my sister's face, it was like priceless. It was the best look I've ever seen. It made me laugh so hard. I think it was when I had a real, like, beard, long hair and all that kind of stuff. It looked like the last
you
samurai
really
version
good
of Tom
back
Cruise.
Then. Oh god, yeah. Just give me a second.
Anyway.
Gotta play with my nipples.
I like there's no euphemism there. It was just straight out.
I clearly remember him during those days.
He's saying the fact that you didn't say, you know, I've got to play with my, you know, bottle topper.
I stopped playing with my bottle topper. You look really long hair. It was like this sort of like goldeny browny color, and it was really well washed and straight. And like I just wanted to like reach out and put my hands through it and rub it all over my face. It was really nice.
I had grooming techniques.
You had really good grooming.
Organic shampoo.
I don't know what he used, but it was excellent. And he had these aviators, I think, from memory. Oh, Jesus.
No, I never had aviators.
Really? Am I like...
All right, let's go back to the episode.
Creating this whole extra idolized version of you in my head that I masturbate to every night?
Much.
Like, is that it? Shit.
Show's over. It's done.
I know, now I'm going to like start editing. This is... You're ruining future Luke's plans.
Sorry, Future Luke.
Anyway.
Yeah, I know. Future Luke's got less time on his hands these days.
Exactly.
I always think of past Luke.
Now, when Joe was saying, oh, this is going to be really easy for Darren to, you know, to get him to help me in the exam, right? I had some thoughts about what that could be. Swinny, did you have any thoughts of what his plan was going to be for getting Darren to help sit Joe's exam? Did you have any thoughts about it? Or
I thought it was exactly like it was.
Oh, really?
No, I actually thought he was going to dress up as
no,
Joe somehow.
I thought it'd be done, filmed a little bit different and that Darren would be hiding under the desk, not under his coat. But I thought it would be the same.
Yeah, I thought more like what Mike was saying, that he was either going to be in his suit or there was going to be some funny setup like that. Or his head pops out and like looks at the answer and then pops back in or... something like that. All it is that Darren is on the floor with his jacket over him. that's Joe's entire plan to hide Darren. I'm like, this is
a good plan.
Insanely stupid.
I actually wish this scene went on for longer. It was so short and they could have done so much with this.
It definitely felt like it was almost added in the last minute, don't you feel? It just... Yeah.
No, I don't think it was added in the last minute, but I
agree with John. It felt like they could have done more with it.
It was a missed opportunity. It was a missed opportunity the way they structured it. But I'm not sure really what they could have done because with Darren on the floor, it was sort of... I think it was always going to be very limiting for the scene.
I do like, however, obviously... Oh, I'll just say that it doesn't work. The examiners see Darren and they pretty much throw... I guess they throw Joe out.
Because she steps on his tail.
Yeah, that's right. She steps on Darren's tail. So if she didn't do that, it might have worked. I like that. I forget who it was said that you should have pretended he was a guide dog. I thought that that'd be a really good idea, actually. That would have been a good plan.
Oh, that's a great plan. Did you just think of that? Or
no, that was said in the episode.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah,
what
I think
Radis
maybe.
Yeah.
Radis maybe said it. Yeah, afterwards when Joe comes and says, Darren got me kicked out of the exam, and then Radis is like, oh, something. And I think Radis actually said, you should have had a pretended he was your guide dog.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a great plan. Mm. That would have been funny. But like it actually would have made Joe seem smart.
I like that they even we can't have that. I like that they referenced it, though. That was good.
Well, I like... That's actually more fitting with the Ferals. I'm surprised they almost didn't do that. Maybe they would have run out of time in this episode, but that would have been funny sort of, you know, film to scene, where he's like the guide dog, and then he's like, you know, answering the questions, and it's like, oh, okay, this is a bit dodgy, and he gets booted out or something. Yeah. That would be funny. Okay, well, you know, we've got it here where Radis, Moddy, and Mixie are back at Robbie's place. And Joe comes in and says he's, you know, backing out of the deal because he failed his exam. And then we see Darren on TV as the Uber dog.
The Wonder
because
Dog.
I thought he was the Uber dog.
I'm pretty certain they said Wonder Dog because it made me realize that I know that there's, I think Dr. Katrina, she actually has her Wonder Dog, and that's why I actually linked that. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty certain.
I definitely think they said Wonder Dog, but I thought they called him the Uber Dog, or he called himself the Uber
Dog.
They
may have said both, actually.
So. Okay. That's interesting. But it doesn't really, like, seem to be going anywhere, this plot line of him being on TV. Because, you know, he's like, I just actually don't understand the logic of it. So, it's that they're super impressed that he's super intelligent? Is that as simple as that?
Yeah, because they're not impressed that he can talk, because that's a given in this universe.
Yeah, exactly. But... When he said he's got an IQ of 142, that's like, you know, it's high, but it's not that high.
Not enough to be Wikipedia, no.
Yeah.
But I didn't get the segue. Did I miss something? What's the segue between Joe doing his exam and Darren getting his tail stepped on, and then all of a sudden he's on TV while Joe, what seems to be like, you know, minutes after his exam,
comes to the room.
I didn't understand the segue there. It's like it skipped the whole scene.
Well, can you guess what the plot line would be, or what the how you'd connect those two storylines?
Well, his examiner must have
that's what
discovered him. That's what I thought as well. Yeah, that's the only way I can make sense of it and go, oh, okay, fair enough.
He's like, hang on, you're getting all these answers right. You're asking
more and more questions. Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's kind of what I thought. When Darren returns from he's on TV, they don't really show that much of it. I don't know. Did you guys pick up anything funny there? I just didn't really. They sort of just had it. Like, did they actually show him on TV? Oh, they did, right?
Yeah.
He just got a few, like, questions from reporters or something like that.
There's so much in this episode that to remember certain bits of dialogue was. There would have been so many notes. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But I loved when he came back to what I described as the construction site of the Ferals' shed. And he's wearing that awesome suit.
Oh,
that looks
great.
So cool. But
like a professor suit.
That is the best
outfit.
It's like, give my secretary a bell.
Yeah.
He looks, honestly, like what I looked on Thursday. I had like a Burberry coat on and all like the whole getup.
Wow.
And he looked like that. It made me laugh because it was like,
but he looked,
and all the things that he was saying were all like business speak and everything.
Do they hand those Burberry coats out when you work at a bank? Is that just like.
Just rain it out, rain it down.
Part of the induction? Like, here's your desk.
Exactly.
Here's your logins and here's your Burberry coat.
Welcome on board, wanker.
That's the test.
Hang on.
That's the test when you go into the interview, you know. If you're not wearing one, then they're like, oh, don't even let this guy in the building.
It looked like an older kind of professor's sort of coat to me. It didn't look like a business sort of attire. It just looked more like something that, I don't know, that guy from that book by that guy about the Da Vinci Code.
Jesus Christ.
Best reference ever.
You know,
you're killing me,
Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code. I don't remember the name of Robert Langdon or some shit. I forget his name. It kind of looked like
that
something
guy
he would
in that
wear.
Book.
Yeah.
That guy in the book.
That guy
yeah,
in the book,
down
Robert Langdon, I think he was.
Yes, you're right.
Look, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but that was what Darren was wearing was very typical of the late 80s, early 90s in Australia.
Oh, right.
Business attire.
Okay, I didn't...
So...
Ah, cool.
I don't know, Swinney, do you have any comment there?
Other than the fact that you dress like you're in the late 80s and mid 90s.
Well, I don't have the tan colored. I have like black and dark and stuff like that, which is more common these days, but...
Yeah, you don't tan. No. You just burn.
Exactly. I just go pink. Then we see Lenny, and he's like super nervous about going to this party, and he wants to pop a zit in front of the mirror.
He's got a social anxiety, I think.
I know. But I sympathize with him a little bit. Like, I didn't like going to parties back in the day. It's just too weird. It's too awkward.
Do you remember our grade six formal? Year 10 formal.
No, I didn't go to that.
Oh, you didn't because, you know, all of us super popular folks, everyone's, arms around each other singing, you know, some big graduation song. We're outside in the smoking area, not smoking, just like,
just
inhaling helium from the balloons.
No, I didn't go. I think I refused to go to that.
That was funny.
I actually don't know why I didn't go. I would have been something about refusing to go, to be honest. But
you had a zit and you didn't think you were hip.
Pretty much. I didn't get hypnotized successfully. That was a problem. And then we see straight away that Darren is now suddenly not cool with the media anymore because they found... do you remember what it was, Vinny? It was like a horse.
It was, a horse singing that could, horse like, that
sing
could
and
skate.
Dance or something?
I think.
Yeah, that's right. You're Mike from the rafters. He's right. That's
Look,
true.
I don't know. If you're the media, what are you going to get more out of?
A singing really horse that dog? Can skate.
Or a singing horse that can skate? I'm pretty certain you get more out of the really smart dog.
Yeah, but how long is that storyline going to go for? The media, at least these days, and even back then, it was starting to become like this. It's all about, you know, either the conflict or, like, something that is genuinely virally funny.
But they could have him host, some game show on the ABC or something. You know, you get a lot out of a dog.
I agree, but I think the idea behind this, the metaphor, is that they just don't like smart people.
I never thought of it like that, but you might actually be kind of right.
Hmm.
It's like another dig at the media.
Pretty much, they'd rather do stories on horses that can skate.
Well, it's a good point. The two times I've talked about the media that I can remember, the first time it was because Moddy was, like, she thought she was ill, and then they left because there was a dog that sounds like Billy Ray Cyrus, which is like a double whammy for the media and Billy Ray Cyrus.
Didn't I say Miley Cyrus?
Yeah, that's right. Miley Cyrus. You could just, like, update some of these jokes and they still work. So, yeah, we see Darren dejected coming back into the shed. There's a few little things that I liked in this. The first was, did you see, do you remember, like, Radis's feet?
No.
Like, the puppeteering for that was really awesome. It was, like, laying on his stomach, and you could see his feet in the background.
Wow, cool.
Like,
yeah, I think I remember what you're saying. One actual puppeteering part that happened earlier than this that I really liked was something I've never noticed up until this point, which is Darren's tail.
Yeah, it's always wagging. Yeah. It's really good, isn't
it? Yeah, and I kind of took it for granted. Now I'm thinking about it. Like, there's obviously effort that needs to go into this for a puppet. I'm thinking, man, that's really good. But they could have just not bothered about that. But they went to the effort of making his tail wag. So.
And they also do it in, you know, because that's something I've noticed, and it's really good to point it out, that they actually do it in a way that he's wagging his tail when he's excited, he does it more, and the guy who's puppeteering him... He does a really good job at that. So, when he's confused, he starts to slow it down a bit, and it's really good. It's really funny. But the puppeteering in this episode was amazing. Like, everything worked. Like, you actually... I don't know about you guys, but I watch it, and I kind of forget that they're puppets to some degree.
Yeah.
Of course I know they're puppets, but they seem to really embody that personality really well.
That's very similar to the Muppets, where they're done so well that you give in to these characters, and they become... cartoon characters as opposed to puppets.
But John, what was the fantastic game you recommended me? Thomas Was Alone, I think.
Yes.
It's interesting that you could start not relating to, but a single block, a single red rectangle can become a character in and of itself. So it's quite funny how if you, I don't know, if you keep relating to a certain thing, doesn't matter how simplistic it is or how elaborate, you just, it becomes a thing. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it's the human ability to see things that aren't really there, right? So yeah, there was a couple of other things in the scene that I really liked. The other one was where Darren mentioned the Feral Tenant Act of 1957.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Which I loved. But I'm like, if he's super smart, because he's still super smart at this point, that has to be a real thing, right? Because he's not lying. Not that I looked it up.
Feral Tenant Act.
I'm just going to believe it.
A feral animal can live on your property and this is their rights.
Who knows? Maybe it was like something for the rabbits, you know? And the other thing I really liked is, there's the Landlord and Tenant Act in 1957. Anyway, the other thing I really liked was when he left and he said, I thought you guys were my friends. And then yeah. Mixie and Raddus just quickly say, nope. That exchange is like probably my favorite exchange in the entire season of this show. I just really like that.
That's high praise.
It's just like perfect the way it was all, the timing of the joke was awesome. I thought you guys were my friends.
You know what?
Still love Joe's talk to the hand thing when he was introduced to Lenny and Robbie in the first episode. Just the very first Joe mannerism.
The thing that I found slightly, I guess, cruel was the fact that instead of celebrating his success, they were happy that he actually failed. And that, did you guys notice
were
that?
They?
Yeah, like when he comes back and he's like, oh,
happy though.
It didn't work out or something like that. And they're like, oh, really? Like, they were quite...
I thought it was more that they weren't shocked that he didn't do well.
I didn't write down what they said specifically, but it was definitely one of those, they were happy that he wasn't successful. Or they didn't really want him to be successful.
I think they were jaded because he pretty much left them high and dry with them trying to fix the thing. So I think
he did, yeah.
Yeah, they're, both where they're like... He comes in and he's like, oh, you know, I'm now going to stay at the Grand or whatever he said. And they're all like, they're sitting with, you know, white ants destroying their place. And then he comes back and says, oh, just come back for my thing. And they're like, nah, sorry, you know, can't help you. Just jaded.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're happy that he's failed or something like that. I agree. I think it's just that they're pissed off that he... Yeah, he basically just upgraded his life and left them in the lurch. So, and especially with the house, the shed in the condition that it's in. Anyway, so we see Lenny still trying to hypnotize himself. I'm not sure if that note that I wrote is actually true. Was he trying to hypnotize himself? He was, wasn't he? He was trying to do it again.
No, he was because he says you'll be when you wake up, you'll be really cool, and you're going to make love to beautiful girls. That's what he actually says.
Man, I did not watch this episode properly. Did he say
that's exactly what he says. You'll be really cool and you're going... Dude, trust me, watch it again. He says you'll be really cool and you're going to make love to beautiful girls. And
are you sure he didn't say like...
Really? Nah, trust me, it's exactly
meets
what he says.
Lots of
and then he wakes up. Then he wakes up and he sees like... There's like a mannequin or something. Or like a dress or something.
What?
And then he asks her how she's doing. Yeah.
No, did I watch the show?
No, that's when he goes to the party, comes back, and that's when he bumps into Darren, who's... And that, yeah.
That's when he's hypnotizing himself. Right? Yeah,
I don't think he says,
trust me.
I'm going to make love to
lots of
beautiful women.
Okay, I'm going to
I
find the clip right now while you guys continue talking, and I'll see if I can play it. No, actually, hang on, Monkey Boy, you're good at this. See if you can find it. It's like probably the 18...
The show.
Okay, I found it. I found it.
Let's go.
He says... You're going to meet a lot of beautiful girls. He did say that. That's exactly what he said.
Play the whole thing.
Not make love.
Play the whole thing.
He didn't say make love.
Do I have selective hearing? Play the whole thing.
Wait, sorry. It's a bit complicated in my setup, but I think I can find it pretty quickly. Oh, actually, this is a perfect lead-in. No. I'll keep this. Okay, ready?
This afternoon, we'll let you know.
I thought you guys were my friends.
No. And when you're awake, you're going to be really cool, and you're going to meet lots of beautiful girls.
Mike, that's you it. Need your ears checked.
Whoops.
No, I'm going to make
selective
love
hearing.
To
I need to get my
that's
brain
a huge
checked.
Difference. That's a huge difference for a kid's show. That's insane.
I think
unless
he's
I watched a different copy than
hear.
You guys did.
Come on.
There are two of them.
All right. So, yeah, I guess it does establish that he did try to hypnotize himself again and failed. And then we see Darren trying to bang himself in the head because he said he watched it in a movie where someone becomes really smart and then bangs themselves in the head and becomes, like, not as smart again.
Well, they did.
I tried to look. Go on.
I was going to say, they kind of did something like this in The Ferals before with amnesia.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I picked up on that as well. I thought that was funny. Banging yourself in the head is obviously a good technique.
Sorry. In this scene, I actually felt really, really sorry for Darren.
Yeah, so did I.
Lenny's just talking to him and he's saying, oh, I met such a, you know, lovely girl last night, blah, blah, blah. And as he's talking, Darren's banging away on his head with this, like, cup or something. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, it was a pan. A pot.
And yeah,
it was
and then,
like a pot.
And then he's like, I don't like being intelligent anymore or something like that. And I was like,
poor guy.
I'm really sorry for him.
Wait, you got to do a better impression than that. Go on. You were going for it for a second. Go on.
No, that's all I'm giving.
I thought you were going to do it. I know you were thinking about it. You hesitated. Anyway, yeah, no, I felt bad for him as well. I thought it got a bit depressing, this whole bit of the episode. I'm like, this is not funny. This
Sorry,
is
I
sad.
Like, you're like, it's so depressing, and you decide to laugh in the middle of saying that. It's so depressing for you.
I'm very depressed. So he was trying to bang his head, and actually, you know what? I've forgotten. Did he get hypnotized by Lenny in this part?
Yeah, but they did it off screen. It was insinuated.
Yeah, they didn't show it.
He's like,
there's so many things in this episode they don't show. And actually, most of the major, like, huge plot points, you know, Darren goes on TV. They don't explain at all how he gets there. Darren, I guess he just gets hypnotized.
Lenny goes to the dance. I mean, that was...
Yeah, Lenny meets a girl. This is friend zone Lenny.
They skipped that whole part, didn't they?
Yeah. He met it. We need an extended edition. We need a director's cut of this episode.
However...
This is the thing. I want to actually ask the people who made this show. Did they have a longer plot and then they had to cut it back?
They did, because I watched the part with the Mexicans, and also he definitely says making love to beautiful girls. And there were Mexicans
now,
too.
Beautiful girls.
Now, yeah, Mexicans. Now, it's a bit of a cardinal sin in movies to tell people something happened and not show them, right? However... Yeah. In this episode, there was so much going on that I think you've got to ask yourself, did we need to see it? Because it was just as effective with insinuating that it happened.
Well, and it also made you feel like, oh, did he meet someone? What happened? Because I think they made it clear that the dance had, or the party had happened, but they never said anything about him meeting a girl until a little bit later.
Yeah.
So anyway, Darren now is going back to his old self. He talks to Radis, wanting to go back into the shed, and Radis tries to make another deal. So the second deal for the episode, where Darren would appear on a TV show, which, by the way, they seem to have amazing access to appear on national TV. This is episode 11. I feel like they've been on national TV about 4 or 5 times in the period of the show.
You know,
and it just seems like they can just click the fingers.
They must know a promoter.
A very special promoter.
Although I think he's probably in a career change considering that he's studying economics.
That's true. He wants to be a businessman. Businessman, doesn't he? Because it's all economics and finance and stuff like that.
Is the show making fun of people that those degrees as well? Like, you know, all those business degrees that people did, which was like just generic fluff degrees. Is that a stab at that?
You're talking to Pete, like, actually, Monkey Boy, you don't
know. Wait, yeah, both of you do. Ha! No, he doesn't.
Well,
no,
I have a business degree, but I have a sort of a kind of equivalent to a post-grad business degree.
Yeah, yeah. So you got postgrad, and I've got a business degree. So you're just insulting us.
I am.
Well, what I would say is,
and I meant it.
You know, that's,
and I'm all right with
I'm
that.
I'm totally cool with that.
I'm not sure if I'd say economics is fluff. I mean, it's hard to, you know, base it on
it's
something.
Not.
But
I'm kidding.
Okay.
No, not really. I wasn't kidding.
And then the follow up scene is where Lenny. Sorry. Where Lenny where Lenny is, you know, cooking up. He's doing an experiment. He didn't really say why. He was just trying to make a new perfume or something like that, I think.
Yes, he did.
It's really interesting.
He just does these things.
I know. Does he need an excuse to do an experiment? No. Okay, so he's doing his perfume, and then Robbie said, you know, his date is going to come over. Now, why is Robbie organizing this? This doesn't make any sense.
Reason. It does
okay,
make sense.
Okay.
There's one episode right, you're like,
hang on,
okay.
Mike. Hang on, Mike. Mike, yeah. Mike, hang on. Okay, Swinney, explain.
Two words.
Yep.
Friend zone handled.
Yes.
Okay, I wrote, Robbie trying to help him, comma, kill the friend zone.
It's handballing. Yeah. She's like, oh, finally, he's going to stop looking at me in the shower and things. I can actually get water if it turns to somebody else.
It's awesome. Oh, God.
I'll just say I've got a bit about this whole friend zone situation coming up at the end of the episode. So
Okay. So, I think we'll come back to what the ferals are doing. But when Lenny's date arrives at the house, my only note at the start was, looks like female Lenny. Did you guys find that? Just to be clear. Can I just clear something up? I don't mean that she's like, she looks manly or anything like that. Like, I'm saying if Lenny was like born a female and looked like Lenny, you know what I mean?
She was well cast,
She had the curly, curly hair, just like Lenny's got curly hair. I completely agree.
No, Lenny's not a half bad looking guy.
God.
Well, objectively speaking, he is. And so is Joe. I mean, yeah, he's just punk, but anyway.
Okay.
Robbie's just
so
like,
they headbutt
hot.
Each other. Yeah, Robbie's pretty good looking. So they headbutt each other and do all these silly things. And I particularly like the line that Lenny's date. Now, I actually don't know what her name is. Do you guys remember what her name is?
No.
Rachel,
right.
Okay, such a white name.
I think they said it
such
once.
A white name.
Such a what?
Okay, so...
Such a
white name.
A white name.
What's a white name?
I'm just saying, like, you know, it's like if it was Bob or, you know, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like a very Anglo-Saxon type name.
People come
and
call Bob.
What? No, I'm not saying that, but it's a particularly typical, you know, Anglo-Saxon name, Rachel.
Is it? I've never seen that.
I know so many Rachels. So many Rachels.
I'm going to look up famous Rachels that aren't Anglo-Saxon.
No, just Google Rachel and see what Google Images comes up with.
But you guys understand, just because, like, for instance, would you agree that Bob is a very common, stereotypical Anglo-Saxon name? Would you agree with that?
Robert.
Okay. I know, like, Asian Bobs.
I know Asian Bobs too. Doesn't mean
my point
is
incorrect
name?
Because
Asian Bob.
That's his name.
Asian Bob.
Asian Bob.
God, no, it's just Bob. But that's pretty funny though. I like that. Asian Bob. Oh God. Anyway, I did rename an Asian guy that I met when I was really drunk one day, and I think he used that name going forward, which is a very weird story.
What did your
Asian Bob?
What?
No, I think
you
his name was
from what
Bao.
To what? Sorry?
His name, I think he called himself Bao. And I said, no, you should be called Bevan, because he was real bogan.
Wait,
so he started calling himself Bevan. People
Asian
even
guy,
on that night started calling him... Oh, yeah, that totally can happen. But, and people that night started calling him Bevan, so I thought that was pretty funny. Okay, we're going all over the place here. So I agree with the friend zone call.
Yeah, Lenny really needs to get it together, man. I'm surprised at you, Lenny. What are you doing?
I know.
So the line that I like when Rachel said,
I wasn't that lame.
True. Wow. Debatable. So the line that Rachel said that I really loved was, "You're not holding out on me, Leonard." when she was talking about how he didn't want to show her his experimentation and all this kind of stuff. So I thought it was getting a bit like dodgy, the show.
Euphemisms, yeah.
Okay, so this is where like everything comes to a head at the end of the episode, where Lenny and his date, they want to go to, you know, the shed because that's where his experiment is gone. Robbie is going to the shed to hide the stinky perfume that he's invented. Joey wants to go into the shed just because I think he wants to be with people.
He's lonely. No, he just said, oh, I heard a TV was on and I walked up, and that's all he said, and he sat down.
Yeah, they just wanted some reason.
Can I?
And they're all there watching.
Just before that scene, there was a...
I like how you're actually asking to interrupt this time about an hour into the podcast.
Apologies for all the other interrupts.
We just interrupt at every
about,
other time. But yeah,
I don't know if you can find this bit again. So I should have told you before we started. At about the 19-minute mark...
I'm gonna put him on the spot.
See if you can get the 19-minute mark, as long as it's the same version that I watched. Tell me what the sound effect in the transition is into that scene where they do that, you know, that comic book graphic view of their shed. Tell me what that sound reminds you of. Just before that, yeah. Like, that was it. That was it. Like,
play it again. That was a pretty good job to get that done really so good quickly. Job, yeah. And then you're like...
No, but oh, it starts off maybe a split second
ready?
Before that.
Oh, it sounds like the
it's
Doom
Door.
Yes, it's the Doom Door.
Holy shit.
Now, I don't know if it's like a generic, a generic sound that you could buy back then, like, because this is about the same
time
as Doom anyway. Or it just, they
That's
actually
crazy.
Took it out of the game.
All right, give me a sec.
I did not notice that. I watched this episode twice.
Okay, let me
that
play it again.
That noise is ingrained in my head.
It's true. Yep. As soon as I heard it, I'm like, Doom Door. All right, I'm going to play it again, just like we'll have some silence for the Doom Door. Ready?
Home. Now get going.
Totally the Doom Door.
It sounds exactly like it. That is freaky, man. Nice pickup. See, why do you interrupt all the way through the episode, and then you ask very politely about the Doom Door?
I know, that's like the best bit you've ever had, or at least since the being able to sell the... landmarks to tourists. That's like you,
that's true.
You've
that
almost
was awesome.
Got a trifecta awesome. Of awesome things in the first 11 episodes.
Yay.
That's true. The highlight
compared to like 20 lame things.
So now we're going to the TV competition. So all the Ferrells, Joe, Lenny, Rachel, Robbie, everyone apart from Darren that we know is in the shed watching Darren on TV, and where he like loses. I don't know. I didn't find any of this funny or any of the questions.
I liked actually when Darren comes on the TV and Mixie's like, hello, Darren.
Yeah, that was good.
And Radis goes, hi, Dezza.
Yeah. And Moddy was like, oh, he mentioned me on national TV. Yeah, that was good. That was the best part of it. And then it was just how he's stupid and, but the problem there, I felt kind of sad for him because he was kind of like going on the show just so he could get back into the shed. Like, that's all he wanted to do.
And Radis is like, he did this, I remember.
Total douchebag.
I think it was the second episode. There was a quiz show for the Ferrells as well.
That's right. There's a lot of quizzes in this show.
I know. And Radis is like screaming just like he did then at Darren. And he's like... Dinosaurs!
That's true.
Was it actually dinosaurs? By the way, was that... Was
I
that
know,
even
I actually did think that, but...
The whale would have been... Back then and even now,
yeah,
still
I think
the
they
biggest.
Said land animal.
Oh, okay.
I think they said cool. Land animal. Yeah. And I must admit, I did think the same. I did think the
Radis,
same when he's...
Radis wailing as well. He's like, no!
He was wailing? Maybe that was the subtle... answer he was trying to give.
Well, I think this is the bit. This, you've made me actually now bloody work the show into this episode so much, but I think this is the bit.
Well, now we know you can do it. We're going to do it all the time. He's going for Joe's record. You can't get it. Right.
Animal, not anthem, you animal, idiot. Oh, kill him!
Oh, desert.
Oh, I've got it. Blinky Bill.
Why is he doing this to me? Because he's not going to give me a break. We got $1,000 right
here. Here we go.
What are the
largest animals ever to have inhabited the Earth.
It didn't say land.
Nope. It did, no.
10 seconds, Derek.
I got a bad feeling about this. Dinosaurs, you Neanderthal! Dinosaurs!
Alsatians are pretty big. Oh, hang on.
Yes.
Great Danes.
Rattus is the voicing is so good.
Yeah. No, I must admit, I thought he did say land, but maybe you're right. I think they said inhabit.
Hey, man, I thought he wanted to make love to beautiful girls, so I think we both hear things that aren't really there.
Yeah. So, it's somewhat different, though, right? No, but there were some dinosaurs that were bigger than whales, surely.
No. Well, I don't know, because, look, this could be one of those myths that keep getting propagated, but I heard somewhere that whales are still the biggest animals to have ever existed.
Okay.
Hmm. I don't know. Your mum's a...
Oh!
Wait, did I just call her a hoe? Shit, sorry. I meant ho-ho! Not, like, not in that way, though.
Okay. I just got that. Darren fails, and then Joe has to rebuild the shed at the end of the episode during the credits because Robbie and Lenny... Sorry, go on.
Sorry, we missed the conclusion to the... they use chemical weapons on the termites.
Oh, yeah, good point. His perfume. Good point. I did write this as a note, but I missed it. That's right. Yeah. So anyway, it was Joe and Lenny who were, like, fighting over the perfume for some reason, right? Why were they fighting over the perfume?
I can't remember. And it fell... All the storylines wrapped up in one nice little thing. Bang,
it's true. It's very Kirby
and
enthusiasm.
Lenny got laid.
Actually, it would have worked better if some reason... Like, maybe Raddus knocked over the perfume because he was, like, screaming or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Because then it would have a direct effect, you know what I mean? It's like Darren had a direct effect on the perfume spilling and that actually helped the place out. I don't know. But I must admit, I've done a bad job because we haven't mentioned the white ants very much. They were very funny. It was, you know, this cartoon white ants. And they were, like, total douchebags, these white ants. Like, there was a scene where Mixie and Moddy were trying to get rid of them, and one of the white ants called her chubby. And she's like, did you hear something?
Yeah, and whenever I saw them, there's a scene with them marching. And to me, it would have been perfect to, like, over, you know, put on, like, Rammstein soundtrack on their marching.
Yeah, they actually surrender when the perfume comes. They've got, like, little white flags and stuff. So, I mean, was there anything in the episode that we missed before we move on to credits and random stuff?
No, just the part where Raddus goes... he goes to Darren when... I forget what the context was. But, oh, yeah, when Darren came back to pick up his blanket. And Raddus is like, how could you be so selfish, so obsessed by money? Which is all he ever does. So that was pretty cool.
Which is now becoming a common thing that Raddus does, where he says other people are obsessed about money.
He's in denial.
He said that about Joe. Yeah, I did like that. How about you, Swinny?
No, I think we covered a lot of stuff, and there was a lot in this episode, so I think it'd be good.
It was a very dense episode, and I mean, if I look back onto other episodes, remember, what was it, episode 3 or 4, where... It felt like it was just one plot line for the whole episode. It was pretty boring. I think the couch potatoes episode from memory.
Oh, I hated that episode.
Yeah, that was a horrible episode.
There was one thing I remember now. And loved it. It was Robbie's chicken dance.
Robbie's chicken dance? I don't remember.
Yeah, when Lenny basically said, oh, no, he doesn't want to go to the dance. And Robbie goes, are you chicken? She goes, what?
No, she did it.
Yeah, she did.
I think she did.
It reminded me so much of Arrested Development.
Yeah, that's totally like Arrested Development.
They're doing all the different versions and not all their chicken dances are all completely different. Like,
ba-ba-ba-gawk. And then I remember Michael had the line, have any of you actually seen a chicken?
I reckon if you would have seen that, you would have actually gone and actually got clips from Arrested Development.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to I'm scrambling to find it right now where she's dancing. No, that's awesome.
It's pretty early in the episode, but anyway.
Oh, it would have been earlier because he was already sort of like, you know, got the date and everything like that. Oh, that's funny. Damn, I would have like tried to even, you know, do a little video mashup or something. Was this when, like, she walked
video,
in?
Sorry, video mashups work so well on a podcast.
I know. There is a lot of pointing to YouTube in this podcast, a lot of imager action and stuff like that. Okay, well, yeah, I think I've covered everything. Like, kind of happens nicely when I sort of host the show and direct it as I want. So.
As you always do.
Yeah, exactly. So, I've got a few things to go on about, but I think, Swinny, you've got some stuff prepared.
No, I was just going to say, Monkey Boy, you were mentioning something earlier about a certain cameo or bit part that's a link to Australian television.
Okay, so, well, the first one, because, you know, I went through the credits, because, you know, you've been failing in, as the credit master, your little credit segment.
I've moved on to to greener pastures.
Okay, so the first thing, you know, I want to check out who this Rachel was. So I found out the actress, Beth Champion. I sent a link. And by the way, she has a bit of a doppelganger called Beth Champion Mason. So if you Google, okay, first thing to do, Google Beth Champion, right? I'll type the name. I'll put the name in the chat. So Beth Champion, right? If you Google her, like Google image, there's another lady that looks quite similar. And
let me just say this. Sorry, there's a lot of good looking people at this link.
Yes. What is this link?
Well, okay, no. We'll go back to the link. We'll go back to the link. We'll go back to the link. I'll put it in the show notes.
Robina Beard. Oh my God.
Search for Beth Champion.
Anastasia.
Wait, because guys,
why did you send us this link?
Search for Beth Champion. Because I want to talk about it. But after. So, if you search for Beth Champion, you can see the first person on my thing, at least, is Beth Champion in the show. The second one is her. And the third one isn't. And the fourth one isn't. And the fifth one is again. But don't you think that chick looks a little bit like her? Like, she's got curly red hair and...
Wow, that's not the same person?
No, the third one is not... Well, sorry. If you could see it, there's two LinkedIn ones, and they're different people.
Yeah.
If you click it, it says Beth Champion Mason. That's a different person. She's like a country music singer.
What?
Yeah, I know, it's freaky, huh? It's really freaky. And there's some photos, I'm not sure who's who. Because it's like, you know, like older photos and stuff. I'm like, that could be either one of them. I'm not 100% sure.
She's still got that curly hair.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, okay, so that was like a little side note, but this link that I sent, this was for this place, Benchmark Creative. So I'm like, I was pretty impressed. She's still an actress. She's still doing like actorial things, right? Then I was looking through this place, Benchmark Creative. Now, you know, I hope I don't get in trouble here, but I was looking through. I do not recognize one person on their list. Do you guys recognize anyone apart from now Beth Champion? Who is in the sort of star list that they have?
unfortunately,
seriously,
no.
Flick through it. This is like the worst agent I've ever seen in my life. I was like, I watch so much TV, Australian, American, whatever.
Well, I don't know, because
I did not recognize. I recognize one some single of these, person.
Dude, you obviously don't watch enough porn, then, because. I think this is a different kind of casting agency than you think it is.
Okay, I'm going to... And also, when you click on them, like, for most people, nothing happens. Okay, oh my God, what the hell? Okay, I just clicked on... Can you guys search for Sam O'Dell?
Okay.
Can you get that?
Yeah.
Okay, so click on that.
He looks like the... He looks mentalist? Like the... yeah, the mentalist.
Maybe it was his brother.
I know, that's what I thought when I saw him. So, can you click it? Can you click on him?
I clicked on him, yeah. Yeah,
yeah it's...
Okay, so what opens for you guys?
His bio.
What?
Showcast bio.
I don't get that. I don't get that.
Gender male, 28 to 37.
No, I get nothing. Oh. And I get recent posts, hello world, Beyonce's seamless fluid image, masonry.
Wow, that's weird. How come we're getting stuff?
I got a profile on showcast.com.au.
Yeah, same.
What? Showcast? Yeah. No, this is Benchmark
Creative. No, but when you click on Sam's account, it goes to Showcast.
Ah, you know what it is? The name links somewhere.
Oh,
the picture links somewhere.
You're right. It does. Oh, my God. That's so
what
bad.
Does the name go to?
That's so bad. Yeah, go to the name. Click on the name.
Yeah, it goes to her.
This is what I was seeing.
It goes to, like, their blog, which has nothing in it.
And see, it says recent post, hello world.
Oh, because it's obviously what? Oh, it's a WordPress. Of course, it's a WordPress blog, I reckon. And all it is course, these are all put, that's these are basically put as like
tagline.
Yeah, they're kind of tagged.
Anyway, so this is my whole point, that these guys are like the worst agents. I do not recognize one person out of any of them.
I like this. There's a guy with bow repair. There's a few I do want to recognize. Even know that's a real name.
Who? What? Bow repair?
What? Do you, shut up.
Bow repair is a real name?
Shut up.
How far up? Tom Bow how far repair. Up or down is it?
It's on the third line.
This is a fake. This has got to be fake.
I didn't think that's a last name.
You're killing me, man. Oh, God. God. There's one guy who looks like a fish.
Come on.
Actually, when, right. When I look through, a lot of them look like fish. The eyes.
Oh, okay.
Have they photoshopped them so the eyes are far apart or something?
I've got tears in my eyes now.
I know.
Which is a shame
Seriously, a lot of them, their eyes are either so big proportionally. I feel like they're photoshopped.
I actually think there's a lot of pretty good-looking people on here.
Look at Nicholas Gledel. Like G-L-E-D-H-I-L-L.
Okay.
His eyes look so big.
I have a new mission in life. I want my photo to appear on here.
Oh, I'm sure you can get on there.
I think you just have to email it to him and I'll put it up.
I think you just have to pay $20 or something.
Mike,
look at Anthony Kidd.
Mike, can you please attempt that? Okay. Please.
Yeah, if you do that, that'd be all up there as one of the. Tom Bow Repair has his own website. Oh my God, I've got to go.
I still can't find Tom.
Is it the Bow Repair
Tom?
Website Tom, where they fix tires?
Oh, there he is. Oh wow.
TomBowRepair.com.
I think we have to clarify for any international listeners that may or may not exist. Bow Repair is a tire repair place in Australia.
Good point. Good point.
Now, good point. If your name was actually Bow Repair, wouldn't you go and open up a company that does tire repairs?
I gotta say, now that I know that, I'm really impressed with that name.
I probably would have opened up a shop that repairs boats or something, but you know. Or repairs.
Repair.
Someone, boat no, repair. Someone who repairs like boa constrictors.
Or yeah, boa repair. Or people who like fixed marriages and partners. You know, my boat repair.
Marriages and partners and dogs.
Or someone who fixes your bow tie when you can't like tie it up properly.
Okay.
Okay, this is the last guy I got to say. Have you guys seen Ian Rennie?
No.
Ian Rennie. Oh, yeah.
He just looks like a random guy. Doesn't even look like... Oh, this guy, Murray. Look at Murray. Murray's scared. Right.
Let me just explain. With Ian Rennie, he looks like a biker. And the thing is, you need those small bit part actors in shows. So okay. He would actually... Okay. I reckon if he wasn't with this agent, he would probably get a lot of work.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, okay. Right. Then explain the Murray guy.
Oh, yeah, I don't know Murray, how to say Murray's his last name. Scars.
It looks like Scarsese or something. Scarsese.
Why is he wearing a high visibility vest?
But he's also he's obviously worn a hat and taken it off
because he's got
the mark across his head.
Trust me. Click on Murray's profile, or like on his photo, and then view the photo gallery.
Okay. Oh my God, you already have the photo gallery point.
He's a good looking guy as a bald dude. Like a full on bald dude.
Oh yeah, when he shaves and everything. That is amazing how different he looks.
Right.
It's amazing.
I'm getting rid of my beard.
Honestly, he would be like, what, a 9 or something?
He's really good looking in the black and white photo, yeah.
You know...
And the one that they're actually like promoting, he looks like a 4.
I know, what the hell?
It's shocking.
You know how some people
it's
say that...
Asian ever.
You know how that some people say a good haircut can really, you know, change the way people Jesus. Look?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. A good beard trim changes the way he looks.
Well, yeah, that's amazing.
Was this promotion website done by Joe King? Jesus.
Okay.
Anyway. Oh, whoa. So, yeah, hang on, I couldn't recognize anyone. Before we move on, Julia Steuben-Rauch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's the funny thing
he's
about
just
her?
Saying she looks good looking, that's all.
She's very, very good looking, but... Actually, I'm starting to think that these...
Hang on, I've seen
is
her
this
before.
Like a real agent?
Yes, I've seen
wait,
her
wait.
Before.
The guy two photos to the right of her looks like he could pass for Jon Snow with longer hair.
No.
Hang on a minute.
A little bit, a little bit.
I've seen
little
this
bit.
Chick before. Where?
Oh, no. I know where this is going.
Trust me, she's been on something. And it's not what you think.
Something's been on her.
No, like, no, she's been in anyway, something. Keep it clean. It's so familiar.
Keep it clean.
She's on YouTube. Mm. She and it's titled Julia Steubenrock Chat to Camera SD.
Where's this?
This is like the dumbest title I've ever seen.
How'd you get to that?
I don't know. Maybe click on that. Anyway, this is so bloody derailed, this episode.
Okay.
All right, let's get back to it. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to say was when I was going through the credits was that I saw who the white ants were. One was a makeup lady, which is kind of cool, you know, one of the cast. The other was Robert Hughes, who was the dad in Hey Dad. Now, for people who don't know, or for overseas listeners, it was a TV show, not dissimilar to, say, a Cosby show. And Robert Hughes played the character that also...
I used to watch Hey Dad all the time.
It was a very Aussie show, though. I think it was in Australia, England.
Oh, yeah, like no, that. Aussie yeah. show. But it yeah, wasn't definitely. A small show. It was a massive show.
It was like a Cosby show. I don't even think that's that inaccurate to describe it like
no,
that.
No, no.
And this actor, Robert Hughes...
Sorry, surely this guy's outcome in life is cleaner than Bill Cosby's.
Well, that's what we get to, that he played the dad... And there were always, like, industry rumors about things that he'd done. And then an explosive story came out a couple of years ago that the actress who, I mean, like, she played the little girl on there. She played the daughter, but she was small as hell, like, tiny, right? Like, you remember it, right, Swinny?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he's been charged and convicted for 10 years for what, I checked a few news articles because I want to make sure I didn't say it incorrectly. It was child sex offenses. So I believe it consisted
that's
of...
That's pretty clear cut.
No. But I think in that terminology, I think it's because he was like flashing her or something like that. I think that's what was taking account or, you know, anyway, crazy. So, the comparisons to the Cosby Show and Bill Cosby at this stage seem pretty apt, although Bill Cosby hasn't been charged with anything.
So is this a benchmark moment for the Ferrells, the first person convicted of pedophile charges?
Well, yes, I agree. That's first...
First person.
First actor. I mean, there was a reference to Rolf Harris in the first episode, because they had the Tie Me Kangaroo Down song in it, but they didn't say Rolf Harris, and Rolf Harris wasn't on the show. But yeah, you're right. So how many people have appeared on the show so far? About 20? Oh,
probably.
Are you trying to create some abuser? Sort of a CSI pattern here?
Exactly.
Just in case, let's just bust the other 18.
Well, I was actually going, thank God that there were no children in the show. That's a funny thing, right? This is like most kids shows have some kids in it.
Right. I've never thought of that. There's been no kid in the show.
And well, there's been a baby, a puppet baby, though. So, yeah.
Total Recall baby.
I can't believe, it took us 11 episodes to notice that.
I think we did mention it at one point.
I think any listeners who have listened to all the episodes up to now would expect no less of us.
No less and no more. Yeah, you're right.
Just right,
man. And the other thing that I wanted to say, because I know that you enjoyed this episode, Swinny, was... I checked the writer, because I'm a big believer that the writer is probably the most important person in the show, that this writer, she only writes one episode of this show out of the 30.
And it's this one.
Yeah,
really?
It's this one. Yeah,
that's interesting.
I think the show did feel very different. It felt a lot more layered.
Layered, but also
it was extremely
disjointed
layered.
To some degree.
I guess you could see it that way, but I thought that... If it's the fault in the writing was that they tried to chuck too much in, then fair enough. But I think it all wrapped up into one, as Monkey Boy said, Curb Your Enthusiasm style moment at the end. So
yeah, it was pretty close to that. Well, I mean, this is a perfect segue for the ratings. Mm-hmm. I'll lead the charge and probably give you an explanation. I gave it a 6 out of 10. I thought it was good. It was a bit too ambitious and a bit too frenetic. So I kind of understand what Michael's saying. It's sort of, but I just felt like some parts were too rushed, some parts weren't. You know, some parts were left unexplained to some degree. Like the fact that I missed so many funny bits and funny little, you know, scenes and little sayings. I don't think they were highlighted enough, the really funny lines. And I think it was clear that certain lines were going to be the funny lines. It was a good episode. I enjoyed it. So it certainly wasn't one of the bad ones. So how about you, Mike?
Well, okay, so look, I thought it was just a little rough around the edges. It didn't fit quite well. So therefore, I'm going to give John's Mom about a 6 out of 10.
6, okay.
But the show was about a 7.
Now, Swinny. Oh, okay, so wait, are you giving it a 6 or a 7?
7.
7? Okay, so Swinny, what did you give it?
Okay, I would give this a 7, this episode.
Okay.
I thought it was a really good episode, but as we've talked about, it probably would have been more effective if they decided to streamline it a bit. I mean, you probably could have dumped some elements of Joe's little exam thing. You probably could have scrapped the whole exam thing, to be honest, and still be able to work the whole episode around the rest of the plots. And that would have allowed you to show things like Lenny at the dance party and stuff like that. So, but other than that, I thought that my favorite thing about this episode was Lenny and him actually, I guess, his issues with women, let me put it that way. So that
was funny how they highlighted that finally in the show.
Yeah, and now to in honor of this, Monkey Boy, you have a thing that I supplied you.
Yep.
Now, I believe that this is probably, unless it really comes up in later episodes, maybe one of the last times we'll talk at length about his friend zone, because I don't know, is that Rachel going to be a recurring character?
Okay, good point. I was going to ask you guys that. I rate it as a 5% chance that she's going to be in the next episode. Just the next, not even a recurring character. No. Well, do you want to bet $200?
He just likes betting. You can tell he's like, we're making bets, are we? No, I just thought,
I think there's a 50-50 chance. Was a perfect... Sorry, go, John.
50-50? No, I'd love to take you up on that. No way it's going to be 50-50.
Okay. What do you mean? It's either going to happen or it isn't. Information. It's a 50-50 chance.
Sorry, that's not probability. That's not probability. You're talking about outcomes. Yes, there's two outcomes.
Yes.
She's going to be on it or she's not. But there's a probability that you have to assign to those two outcomes.
Yeah, it's 50-50.
Oh, my God. It's... No. Far out. That's scary.
Anyway, as an ode to Lenny's... Yes.
And should I play this while you're talking? Or
situation, can you please roll the tape? Do you feel it, Monkey Boy?
Yeah, I am. I'm grooving a little bit.
This is a completely original backlist, so I hope you know that.
Rachel...
What do you mean?
Let's make the best of the situation. Maybe share a sheet or two. You know you set my digital heart aflame. You're my guitar vixen. I want you
to
copy.
So
good. You got me on my knees, Robbie. Where I got rid of those fleas. Robbie, won't you ease my friend's own mind?
That's awesome.
I tried to give you consolation when your Aunt Mavis let you down. She conned you out of money and it seems so awfully strange. She looks like Rick Flair wearing dragon is gone to days. Robbie, woo! Got me on my knees.
Jesus Christ, you sing so well though.
Let's partake in
microbiology.
Robbie, won't you ease my friends on my Robbie?
Told you.
Got me on my knees, Robbie. So I might just try my luck with Kali. No, I don't mind some kangaroos sometimes. Kali, you got me on my knees, Kali. With your furry colloquial cavity, oh. Won't you ease my friend zone? My...
Woo! Now, disclaimer.
Awesome.
Good. I'm well aware it is cloacal, not cloacal, okay? I just didn't bother recording.
That was really good. Holy shit. Oh, can you completely awesome, cut out laughing and everything we did and that whole Rachel part out, though, when you play it back and just have the song? It's so good.
Or you could just put it up on the show links.
No, I have the song.
Or
the song.
I could put it... No, well, what I could do is I can put it as a bonus episode.
Oh, okay.
So, like, a bonus clip and flow through.
But that was seriously fucking good. Like, every time I hear John sing, I'm just so impressed. It's...
Yeah, that was amazing. Awesome. That was awesome.
And the lyrics are so good.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Okay.
You have genuinely created Ferrell's extended universe material. This is like the first... We had some Nuffies who... This is so bad to say that. Some Nuffies who, you know, tried to do some cosplay as Ferrells, but this is amazing.
This is good.
That's
amazing. That's a honorable Nuffy.
I just wanted to say it.
Can you speak the lyric about Carly's furry what?
Okay, well, I think we'll leave it there.
Just Google cloacal, okay?
Okay.
I think I know what you're talking about, but all right, I think we'll wrap up the episode there. That was a pretty awesome ending. We'll see you all next week. I actually didn't check what the next week's episode is, so it's going to be a surprise for all of us. We'll see you again next week. All right,
adios.
Bye.
Ciao.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.